three times. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened
to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings.
Then the four measurables in English three times. May all sentient
beings, have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is out of suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment to friends and hatred for enemies.
May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness.
May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment to friends and hatred for enemies.
May all sentient
beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be free from the happiness that is free from suffering. And may all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment to friends and hatred for enemies.
Now at the on page 34, you see the medicine book.
Yeah. We're going to do this, most people here know, but a member of our community, an anchor in our community, Jim Barnes, died at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. And so whenever we're gathering, we're saying Medicine Buddha mantras to support him in his transition through the bardo and rebirth, meeting the Dharma quickly with all the faculties necessary to benefit from that. And so we're going to say the Medicine Buddha mantra seven times. And she's, so thank you, Lama. Would you, let's say the short one, okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
So let's start with the stanza. One time, Bhagawan with equal compassion for all,
when name was nearly heard, dispels the mysteries of the lower realms. Destroyer of diseases and the three poisons, I prostrate the medicine Buddha lapis light.
Teata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze rajasamyagate soha.
Teata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze rajasamyagate soha.
Teata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze rajasamyagate soha. We were doing seven, right?
What, that's seven, yeah.
That was three.
Three. Okay, keep going. Sorry, I didn't mean to accent it. I apologize.
Teata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze rajasamyagate soha.
Teata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze rajasamyagate soha.
Teata
om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze rajasamyagate soha.
Teata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze rajasamyagate soha. May all who are sick and ill quickly
be freed of
their ailments.
Whatever diseases are in the world, may they never occur again.
May all
and things everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness by virtue of my merits.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of sufferings and joy by virtue of my merits. Okay. First of all, I have several people to thank. First of all, we have an honored guest here. Mark Philbrick is here, who is the head honcho at Transitions Life Care, which is the hospice that serves the Triangle area. And so and Betsy Barton. Well, Betsy's not here, but this is Mark, and Transitions has been incredibly supportive in helping this workshop come together. Donna, for permission to do the workshop and her help with the materials and snacks. Permission to have snacks, too. So please, eat them. Amitabha Hospice, you'll hear a lot about them. Chris Baranski for his unfailing technical assistance. Barb Baranski for her work making the resources available online and in print. And David and Karen Macklis, who I didn't have materials ready in time to give them to Donna, and they graciously used their resources from their business to print two of the handouts we have and bring them today. So I'm extremely grateful. I would like to set our intention for today, and so may all our thoughts, words, and actions during this time together help all beings die without fear and have a positive rebirth. May our being together and sharing with each other foster harmony in our communities. And last, the intention that for Jim Barnes, that whatever merit we have in sharing and doing this today be of benefit to him. So, Chris, can we go to the slide for objectives? I pretended that I knew what I was doing in terms of presentations, and they're always how you're supposed to have objectives. So everybody has a copy of this, but I just want to, so it's the opportunity to reflect on what's important to you now. Some technical information, a brief overview of the death process from a Buddhist perspective, and, you know, what teachers say about the state of mind at the time of death. Go over the Dharma wheel with suggested practices and an opportunity to just begin doing it. So I don't know how much sharing is going to go on here today. Maybe little. Maybe people will be very private about it, or maybe there'll be some sharing. And I say that because I'm very aware that, you know, for me, Jim is very present in this room as we do this. You know, I think his death was a huge and beneficial reminder of our mortality, and for that I am grateful. So let's, you know, whatever we say here in terms of sharing or you hear here, let it stay here. You know, if you want to share what you experienced, fine, but I leave it up to people to share their own. And Chris, next slide. See, he's my techno guru because I can't push buttons and talk at the same time. These are the guiding, it says these are the things to consider, but these are the guiding principles of today, which is, what state of mind do you want to have at the time of death? What do you want to be actively engaging in at that time? And what are you doing now that will enable you to engage your mind in that practice? And so I'll keep coming back to that because I think there's so many details in doing this, that objective can get lost. You know, you can get lost in the minutia. And we really have no control over what will be available to us and who will be available to us at the time of death. You know, and what we will have is our spiritual practice. So I hope if this is about what others will do for you, but the point of others doing things for you at the time of death is so that you can be doing work, you know, so that your mind is doing this. So thanks to hospice, we can go on to the next. Oh, some facts. 90% of people say it's important to do something like this or talk about this, but only 27% of people actually do. And then 82% say it's important to put it in writing, and only 23% have. So the reason for having the afternoon part of this workshop is, if you're anything like me, I get some good material and I say, okay, I'm going to do something with that, and it goes home and goes in a drawer to be discovered months or years later, or sometimes never at all. Okay, next, Chris. So what we have here is the Go Wish game. What's game? It's kind of like a solitaire. And for people that have their technology here, you can go to gowish.com and do it online. But we wonderfully have cards, thanks to hospice. But I have some disclaimers. Number one, the cards are not for us to keep. We need to give them back as many decks as they lent us. And they have wonderfully color-coded the cards, that there's red decks and turquoise decks. So that, you know, when people are doing things, you know, you can end up with some cards and, you know, when they're doing things closely. So I'm going to give people, yeah, I'm going to hand these out, and some of you will get, well, somebody will get a purple deck. Isn't that, that's Donna's. That's Donna. Donna gets the purple deck. And so, and I guess there's yellow decks, but so, oh, there's yellow and red, more colors. So kind of alternate, but we're going to take about, I'll tell you about how to do this, but we're going to take about, I have Holy Zen now, trying to put that kata up. I dragged my Zen through the offering bowl, so now I have nectar on my robes. If that's the only error I make today, we're all in really good shape. So you kind of have to spread this out like solitaire, so there's not a lot of room, and especially if you're in a chair. So we're going to take about 20 minutes to do this. So get up, go get snacks, sit at a table out there, and do the sorting. And also, in your handouts, now, a very good suggestion was made to you. Once you've finished, so I'll go over the directions, and so what you do is you sort these cards, and there's three piles. We can go on to the next slide. Into very important, somewhat important, and not important. And you can use a wild card to invent your own. Choose the top 10 cards, only 10 cards in the very important pile. Okay? So what I'm going to ask that we, I'm going to suggest that we do this in silence. And I'm also going to suggest that people think about making this immediate, not super plans for the future. I kind of did it like, oh, yeah, death is way off there. And then I redid it as if I was going to die in 3 days or try to. You know, that's, I really can't wrap my mind around that. But try to. And what was important was different when I made it really immediate. And I'm so grateful to Jim. I was grateful to him when he was alive, but I'm so grateful to Jim. I'm one of those people that has a backup for the backup. You know, if you've got a bottle of detergent and one close to empty, then I have to buy another one. So, and I was in the store the other day, and I was ready to do my backup for the backup. And I said, why am I doing this? I could be dead before I need the second backup. And somebody else would have to do something with it. So in that one small instance, I didn't buy it. So if you can kind of make it immediate, I think that's helpful. And somebody gave me a really good idea. I mean, we have in your handouts the Go Wish worksheet, which means once you've got all your cards, you can write down your top 10. But Betsy wisely suggested, take a screenshot of it. You know what I mean? If you didn't want to write them down. So that's another option. And I have a timer here. And so I think 20 minutes will be enough time to do it. I'll check in with people. And if it's not enough time, you know, we'll stretch it on a little bit. And one other thing. So before we start it, I have to talk about Donna, which is inviting generosity. You know, they say in AA there's no costs or dues or fees for belonging to our organization, but coffee and rooms cost money. So the same thing kind of applies, not the coffee, but the same thing applies here. And so if this ends up being of any value to you, I invite some generosity that supports us being able to continue doing this at no cost to everyone in our community that wants to call. And my other reason for this is I was told to keep my budget minimal for snacks, and I overspent. And so I don't want to get in trouble with the budget committee. So I invite your generosity. So... And I hope my humor isn't offensive to anybody during this difficult, addressing this topic, but it's kind of genetically wired in, so I don't really have a prayer. So does everybody have a deck of cards? Okay, and so please go find a comfortable place to do it. It's 10:20. I planned that. And we'll, you know, a few minutes before, you know, the 20 minutes are up, I'll check in with people and see where they're at, and then we'll come back together. Okay? I'm assuming I was clear. Okay, thank you. Okay, that'd be great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, here's the one I wrote on. Okay. Okay. Does anybody want to share what they noticed or, you know, what seems important to, with the group? And if not, we'll just move on. No, as Geshe would say, no pressure. Yeah. Gary.
Kelly and I were talking. An awful lot of these things seem to fall into two buckets for me personally, sort of custodial things and then personal, if you will, spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And that so many of them could also go into two buckets, although almost all of them go into first, and is things you could take care of today. Or you're kicking yourself that you didn't take care of yesterday, all the way from, who was it? What's the passwords to all the accounts? Do we have any money left over for anybody? All that sort of stuff that seems like a very custodial thing to take care
mm-hmm.
of. And you could do that and maybe once a year, check
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Forget about it. Then the other things that take, like, more... maintenance, if you will, reinforcement, like the one on being at peace with God. Like we took that as mm-hmm. being at peace with our belief system.
Right.
You don't want to be there at the last minute saying, you know, I had a couple more questions. You know?
Or you could think, I've got a couple of more questions. I hope I remember them at my next rebirth.
Yeah. I sure wish I'd have filled that card out for Geshe-la to, you know. But those are the sort of things that you recycle in and out of beliefs a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
it seems that it takes an ongoing
okay.
build to it, and certainly not something you want to wait till like the last minute and say, let's get this belief thing together.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have some insight. This is the first time I've done it.
Okay, that way everybody can hear it. We are not streaming this, by the way.
Oh, we're not.
No, we are not streaming this. I asked people say they hear better with the mic. I decided not to stream it because I decided this was a very, very personal kind of event for people, and that if people really like this, we can do this again. So
you got to be present to win.
What?
You have to be present to win.
Okay.
Just like the
This is the first time I've done it with the instruction of think that you only have 3 days. I've done this several times before, and it took me in a completely different direction this time. A lot of the things that physically I had put on as important to me, you know, not pain, being able to breathe, the comfort things, none of that appeared on this list because I figured, hey, if I got it in the short haul, it's not a big deal. And what outweighed everything was almost all of the family things were on the list this time as high priorities. You know, with 3 kids and 3 grandkids and...
And one on the way.
Yeah. And so it shifted sort of away from thinking about physically suffering and things that are in the short haul.
As opposed to your mind.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Your heart. Well,
and connection with God and prayer. And, so
that's
I appreciated a whole different twist to this.
Yeah. So, Julie. No, not Julie. I'm sorry. I apologize.
One of the things we talked about in our mindset originally was in regard to if you could prepare. And I'm not. But the alternative was not just 3 days. Suppose it was going to be immediate. And where do we want our minds when it's going to happen quickly, like driving up here and the cars were backing up because a goose was walking across the road and the cars were swerving out of the way and it could have been, I may have not made it today. And so how do we have our minds in the place that for not just preparation when we have, but when we don't in fact know it's today?
Yeah, and for me, that goes back to the one of the things I said about here is, what are you doing now that will enable you to for your mind to engage in the practice that will support the state of mind that you want? You know, Donna.
Yeah,
it's probably easier with, well, it's probably easier for...
Actually, I think Helen brings up a really good point because this is an exercise, you know, that assumes... the kind of death that we want where we can arrange things and we can have some time to think about things. And it's a very valuable exercise and, you know, please may have the karma to die this way. But, you know, if we don't, then I think that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes back to we have absolutely no control over what will be the circumstances and who will be with us.
Yeah.
And so anybody else before we... Anna.
Yeah, I thought that's a very good point because two of my aunts in Uzbekistan, who I've never even met, both died at different times just sitting in a chair, one in her bed and the other in the chair. What a good way to go. It's so unexpected.
So I wanted to make a comment that it was amazing to me how quick... I decided. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
That's great. Well done. Quite a... Okay. Well, actually, a couple of the comments here. I'm really grateful. You know, we always have plants in the audience to, you know, set up the next topic. And so I'm always grateful for that when someone serves that, offers me that gift. So before we go on, would I, we may have a lot of support when we die, but finally we all die alone. And so I just want to take a moment to remind us of 4 points from the Lam Rim. Death is certain, and our lifespan is diminishing as we sit here. The time is uncertain. The body is fragile. The causes of death are many, and the causes of life are few. At the time of death, the only thing that helps is spiritual practice. So,
I think what Mark said about, you know, it shifting from, you know, what would circumstances be like from him about, as opposed to his heart relations and his mind is, I think when we, you know, clear our relationships and let go and know that we've done the best to serve others in clearing the relationship, that's a spiritual practice. And as Geshe-la said, you know, my buying snacks at Aldi's could be a spiritual practice if I had the right intention. You know. So if you can go to, there's a handout. I'm going to talk a little bit about Buddhist death, you know, the perspective of Buddhist death and what happens. This is where, for me, I'm getting into pretty muddy waters, not in the sense that it's unclear from a Buddhist perspective, but it's my knowledge base is not huge on this, you know. So if things come up, there may be questions that I say, we got to ask the big G, Geshe-la. But I wanted to talk about a little bit about, this comes from Amitabha Hospice, and but I want, before we go over it, I wanted to talk about the emphasis of the importance of the state of mind at the time of death. Our state of mind at the time of death has a very strong influence on the throwing karma which propels us into our next rebirth. So, you know, the more positive your state of mind can be, and if that means being free from pain, you know, there are people say, oh, you should be alert to the very, very last minute. Well, if you're a really accomplished practitioner, that can do that, but if I have, this point in my practice has not developed the skill, and I've had some experience in the last couple of years, of detaching from severe pain. And if I'm in excruciating pain, it is going to be very, very hard for me to have a peaceful mind. So those are, you know, kind of some of the things. I encourage people to explore the Amitabha Hospice website. It has Buddhist death, it has the spiritual practices, it has all of the suggestions that, you know, Lama Zopa has made with the tools to implement them. And it's amitabhahospice.com and stuff. Cultivating a positive state of mind. And some of this is, and I think one of the things that going over the death process helps is that medical death, or was it physical, you know, whatever, medical death, and the mind leaving the body are not necessarily the same thing. They sometimes are very close, but they're not necessarily the same thing. And so that's what brings up some knowing the death process and knowing kind of a little bit about what that happens. So what happens in the death process is kind of the reverse of coming into this world or rebirth, which is you go from very, very subtle at the end of the bardo state into gross form. And death is the reverse. They say going to sleep mimics that partially. I have seen books on it, and they're too overwhelming for me, so it's rare I leave a book on the shelf, but those I've left on the shelf. This is, as Geshe-la would say, this is just for information. There's a table of resources up here. Things I'll be referring to here. These are my personal resources, so please, you know, look but leave. But one of the books, I I've had tantric initiation, but I am not a tantric practitioner. I mean, I'm not even close to being that. But if people are here, you know, and they're pursuing that path, Lati Rinpoche's book is very, very helpful for that. And so I just, you know, kind of put that out there for people. But it's not something I'll be covering or talking about today because it's beyond me. Did somebody ask a question? Death, Intermediate State, and Rebirth. And the book's up here. Lati Rinpoche. He also wrote the book that we use, I think, for people who came to some of the basic program, Mind in Tibetan Buddhism. That's also his. He's a pretty clear writer, or his translator is. So if we start at the, Adana put it all on one page. That was wonderful. So she did a great job of putting it all on one page. So in Buddhism, so there's four elements, earth, water, fire, and wind, and they're supported by the winds, okay? So the winds, they're in the central channel, and the two channels to either side starts here at the crown of the head, and I can't remember if it goes here. It's in front of the spine, though. It's not in the back of the spine. So it's kind of hard to think about it coming here, but I'm not sure. And at the time of death, as this dissolution takes, the winds that support our aggregates and our consciousness begin no longer being able to do that. They begin to dissolve. And that's kind of what happens with the stages of death. So... And some of this, I want to say, when I was reading over it again, it's a little bit confusing because in Western medicine, we always, you know, Western stuff, they talk about, and I'll get to that, they talk about hearing being the last sense to go. Well, they don't say that here. And I don't know, you know, I'm kind of, I would have to do more investigation about that. You know, in terms of, you know, how it jives. Because I've rarely found tons of contradictions. So the first thing is the body becomes, you know, kind of thin and weak. And I don't know how many people have been with people who have died. But even if the person is quite substantial, they seem to shrink. You know, they seem to shrink. But I think the important thing is that's the external sign. Their eyesight becomes unclear, so they may not be able to see things. It might be harder for them to recognize people. And they may be unable to open and close their eyes. The internal sign is a mirage. Seeing, you know, things that aren't there. So the earth element supports the form aggregate, so that's kind of why the body is kind of, in a sense, kind of losing its glue. The water element is connected to the feeling aggregate, and that's the fluids dry up, body becomes numb, hearing ceases, and body feeling ceases. So again, does that mean, you know, there's no more pain? You know, I wasn't even quite sure how to begin to investigate that. And there's the appearance of smoke. The other thing is that the time that this happens can be, you know, like this, or it could be like this. You know, it's not, there's not, oh, you're here 3 minutes and here 10 minutes, and then, you know. Even if you were killed in a car accident and medical death, they say they died instantaneously, you would still go through all of these things. And depending on you, they may be slow, they may be long.
By smoke, do you mean internal vision?
What?
By smoke, do you mean like internal vision of smoke? Is that...
Yeah, kind of an awareness of smoke, seeing smoke. That's the internal thing, you know, not a physical sense of smoke in the body. Now, this next one is kind of very important for me, is that the fire element eliminates the discrimination aggregate, which is the capacity to distinguish between positive, neutral, and negative, whether it be a thought, whether it be a feeling, whatever it is. You know, even if you're in pain, it's like your body's not even going to be able to label it anymore. And there's sparks. Now, I don't have a video of mirage sparks and smoke, you know, smoke and sparks. So, you know, and I couldn't find a first-hand reporter. The wind element is the compositional factors and the tongue and body senses. So breathing ceases. That's when Keshla talks about this. So here there's winds in the central... in the central channel, there's winds in the left and right channel, and there, it's kind of sometimes shown as a, but there's literally cords around the central channel at different places that kind of keep the winds from going into the central channel and flowing smoothly. So at the time of death, as you're going through this, these cords start loosening and dissolving. That's kind of what they mean by the a little bit like about the dissolution. And so then, you know, the red drop and the white drop, or is the red drop, I always can't remember which is up and which is down, meet at the heart. And that's what happens. That's what's beginning to happen in number four. The body can't move, taste and touch cease. You lose awareness of external activities. And it's kind of, I've seen, heard it described as like a flickering candle that's going out. And then the fifth one is the consciousness aggregate. I did not look up what the 80 conceptions are. Sorry, I did not. And the winds above the heart enter into the central channel, and that's when this whole process, 5, 6, 7 is, you know, the drops coming together. Okay. And so, the winds completely gather at the heart, and then dissolve into the very subtle wind, which is the joining of the red drop and the white drop. And that's the moment, I mean, at that moment, when the mind is still in the body, that you have clear light. I mean, that's as close as I'm going to come in this rebirth to Buddhahood, you know, enlightenment. And so that's kind of where some of the stuff comes from. Not kind of, that's not a very good way of explaining it, saying it. When they say, you know, people have been not enlightened, but have, you know, achieved liberation, you know, discovered the truth, you know, at the time of death. This brings up, I'm just going to go over some questions that this brings up in terms of decisions people make in their Dharma will. Okay. We had, there was a member here, Tim, who died in September 2016. He was injured beyond recovery in a car accident and was declared brain dead and was being sustained on life support. And this all happened within 15 hours of the accident, okay? I mean, he was immediately on life support. And he had chosen to be an organ donor. Well, as long as there is breath in the body, even if it is artificial in terms of being on a respirator, the mind has not left the body. So it raises the issue for people that you were alive when they cut into you to harvest your organs. So as Lama Zopa says, you know, people who have bodhicitta, you know, and had a great level of the giving of generosity, that can make that offering without it disturbing their mind stream. You know, it can be very positive because they're rejoicing in, you know, doing this. But I think for someone like me who has a hard time giving away a teacup, I might not be able to keep a positive mind at that time. So it's just something I suggest, you know, there's no right or wrong decision, but it's kind of something people need to be thinking about. I know that Jim's body wasn't able to go to the funeral, you know, room, because he was a donor of, bones, tissue, you know, and something else. Well, I have a question about that. Is that like after, you know, does that have to happen immediately after death or in the same way that harvesting organs does? Or, you know, can you have some idea that the mind has left the body, you know, to decide if that's something I think I can do? You know, because again, if the mind doesn't leave the body immediately after death, and it can be there up to, with most people, they say 72 hours. Geshe-la says, for most of us, the mind leaves the body within about 24 hours. I mean, that's just, Geshe-la may be clairvoyant, so I'm going to go with that. So those are some things to think about as you think about, you know, what do you want to happen after you die? It can, you know, as I said, the clear light can be for a few minutes or 3 days. Now, like when Lama Sopa died, I mean, I saw pictures of him on the fifth day. I mean, his cheeks hadn't sunk. I mean, he... No, I'm talking about Lama Sopa. Lama Sopa, Geshe Sopa from Deer Park. It's my most recent experience with a very familiar picture. I mean, I'm not saying that wasn't true of Lama Yeshe. It certainly was, but I'm just going with my most recent, you know, experience. And the pictures of Lama Yeshe are older, and this was like this very fresh photo, and I was like, you know, he kind of looked like, you know, when are you going to wake me up from my nap? So they say that you know that the mind has left the body when either a couple of drops of blood come out or they said pus, and I'm not sure, you know, about that. And they also say if a lot in one of Rabina's books and in Dying a Happy Death, they talk about there being you can feel no sense of heat at the heart, because that's where, for Tibetan Buddhism, that's where the mind is. You know, our brain may be a supporting factor so it can function, but our mind is here. So it brings up, it just brings up a lot of questions about, you know, how, if we have a choice, somebody brought up, for example, if you were in a car accident and medical death happened, you know, immediately or very shortly after in the ambulance, they're going to be touching the body. Yeah. You know, you're going to be touching the body, you know. So, again, that spiritual practice, you know, going out with it. Hospice has been really, really, really helpful in, this is information as you make your plans. Someone has to touch the body in order to declare medical death. I mean, they got it, whatever. if you're in a hospice facility, or at least transitions here, okay, we can just talk about our community. Chicky and I met with them, and they said, and we explained to them about not, you know, touching the body. And so they said that the nurses and the healthcare professionals kind of, they pretty much know to declare the time of death, they have to touch the body, but they pretty much know when someone has died. And then if, you know, people are with them or even, and if their if you are in hospice here and you could make your preferences clearly known, when a nurse recognized that probably death had happened, they were willing to say, we can leave the room for an hour and then come back and do the medical thing. That was that meeting we had. And what? Up to four. That was four. Because they said, because I was asking them how long could they do that. And they said they could give us 4 hours, which is just wonderful. What?
Better than nothing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great, you know. And then, so, you know, one of the things is at, you know, when you know that someone, the first touch is to be at the crown of the head. And you couldn't tug my hair. So you just have to. Is anybody home? And stuff. So, and then the other thing I want people to know about is if you're in the hospital, we met with somebody from one of the crematoriums, and hospices said this, the magic words in hospitals are religious preference.
Yeah.
Religious preference. And, so, and I don't want to take up too much. We got enough time. So when I was in the hospital and had surgery 2 years ago, and I was meeting with the anesthesiologist, I don't think I was going to, well, of course I don't think I'm going to die, thank you very much. I don't know if Kim was with me or Kim and Tendrin were with me, and I was meeting with the anesthesiologist, and I said, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but if I die on the table, you know, my nun sisters and my friends are going to be here, and I want to clear out of the room, and I want the nuns to come in and do practices for at least a few minutes and don't touch me. Well, I thought the anesthesiologist was going to fall off the, you know, and she said, if you code, I can't not do something. And I said, if I code, that's fine. What I'm talking about is I've been coded, you've done what you can, and you know that flat line is going to stay there. That's when I want you to let go, stop, and bring the nuns in. Now, I don't know if they would do it, but they said they would. So I just share that information, and this was at Rex, but it was pretty funny when she almost levitated off the bed. Said, obviously, I didn't die. I'm here. And so,
Carol, they may have to move you to another room, but they would probably.
Right, but I even said, you know, don't unhook them, unhook them if you can unhook them from the machine, but don't, you know. But they said they could even give a few minutes in the theater. That's what they said, but I don't know. I mean, you know.
They have surgeries backed up. They wouldn't wait too long.
Right. But even a few minutes for the nuns to come and even be with the body as it got moved or whatever. So I was kind of pretty pleased with that. Yeah, Patty.
Just one question on that. Condola, is that something then that you should have in your legal paperwork so that you're letting them know before? I mean, because most of the time when we have a surgery, we know about it in advance.
Yeah, so. Because, well, no, not paper. Well, it can be in your advanced medical directive, okay? But the anesthesiologist always meets with you. And if it's in your paperwork, it goes in your chart and nobody reads it. Thank you very much. So it needs to be said, and then the last thing before you go under, it needs to be said again. I had a recent example when Louise had surgery last week that nothing to do with dying, but she has and she wouldn't mind my sharing this, a serious problem with nausea, and none of the stuff they use helps her when she has anesthesia except this particular patch. And so when she met with the anesthesiologist, I was there, she said, I need to have this patch. And he said, well, there's this, she said, I've used all of these, I'm a nurse, they don't work, I need this patch. And she said to him, I'm not leaving PrEP without the patch on. So when I then left, because Lane spent some time with her, and Lane came out, and I said to Lane, did she get the patch? And the anesthesiologist said, yes, of course. And she said, yes. He said she had to remind him three times and finally say, I'm not leaving the room until you get me the patch. So, so writing is good, but, you know, like on those cards, what did I want the most is an advocate there who I've assigned the job to Kim, an advocate there who understands my wishes and, you know, kind of is willing to the best of their ability without getting kicked out, go to the mat. Yes, Julie. Yeah, you have such a soft voice. Wait a second. Okay, thanks.
What is the significance of, if you could explain again, of not moving the body right after you think you've died?
Right. Okay, if the mind hasn't left the body and the mortician comes in, puts you in a bag and zips you up and your mind is still there, it could be disturbing.
Ah, yeah.
You know, the mind is still aware, you know, so you want things as calm. They talk about if there's relatives that are screaming and want to throw themselves on the bed and, you know, the dog starts howling. It could happen. I'm not, you know, that those, you want it, not that you don't want family there, but you want, you know, want that does that help? Does that explain it?
Yeah, So it may be just put the two things together, so once I die, I'm still going to hear some...
It's an awareness. How about awareness?
I'm still going to be able to hear things, and then I go through the dissolution.
It's, what I'm saying to you is the red drops, I mean, medical death has happened, but the mind is still, the wind is still moving through the channels, and it has joined at the heart, and the mind has only left the body once the wind and all the subtleness leaves from the heart. So I would like to say the aware, but I don't think it's conceptual awareness the way we think about it.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't have a first reporter here to help me with this.
It's a disturbance in the force.
Right, thank you. I like that. Very good. Well, yeah. So, Mark, yeah. Hey, if you don't mind, thank you.
I also wanted to clarify when we met with you about the hospice, death, time of death, in most people, when they have someone die at home, when the person ceases breathing and they try to get a pulse, then they call us. Hopefully not 911.
Right, because call 911, they don't have any choice.
Right. So at time of death for hospice patients, in your situation, we agreed that you don't have to call hospice until someone has determined the mind has left the body. So as medical death occurs, we want to respect everyone's personal faith and belief. So if you don't believe the person's dead, so to speak, you can call us once you folks and had your priest or nun determine the mind's left the body, then call hospice so we respect your...
And what I would add to that, if I remember correctly, they said if the nurse was there by any chance, and again they talked about the nurses really kind of recognizing when they say, I'm leaving, call me, that the nurse could leave without, but don't call 911, you know, because 911 comes in, they don't have any choice. Yeah, Kim.
I've got a lovely.
Yeah, so I just wanted to add that, you know, I was with my mom when she died, and it was at her home, and my brother was in the house, so there were five of us kids. So the two of us were there. It was clear that she had passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called the rest of my siblings. They all came. We sat, she was in the living room. We all sat around in the living room. There was a baby grand there. I played a lot of my mom's favorite songs. We all had a cognac. We sat around and talked. And we thought it would be, she would be so happy that all her kids were sitting around in the same room with her talking mm-hmm. about all the good times that we had when we were younger. And I didn't call hospice. She died around 1 in the morning. I didn't call hospice till about 5.
Right.
I mean, I just, it didn't, I mean, I wasn't worried about it at all, because that's what we wanted to do, and it was really, really wonderful.
Yeah, but I guess they would raise, I'm not, and I don't know, I don't wasn't in your minds, but from a perspective, I would raise the other issue, Kim, is it was wonderful for you, and it may have been wonderful and helped her mind been peaceful. It also could have increased her attachment, you know,
yeah.
And I don't, but then people... You just got to do what you've got to do, you know.
You know, she was Catholic. She wasn't Buddhist. She was, you know, it was, she wanted her family around her. That was one of her wishes.
So I guess what I'm saying from that point, that would help her have the most peaceful mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things that for each person we kind of need to sort out. Now, I'm conscious of the time. I said I'd end at 12, but now we need to go through the Dharma wheel that we're then going to come back. How many people are planning on coming back this afternoon to do the deal? Okay. Okay, good. So we can always raise hands again. I'm sorry. I was not very conscious. Okay, great. We can... If you don't mind, we're going to go, if you need to get up, do whatever you need to do. We can go a little bit longer to go through the Dharma wheel because I don't really want to shortchange that. And then we'll just extend kind of how long we're gone away for lunch or we'll decide, I planned an hour and a half for lunch. Maybe we can just do an hour. We'll just take a consensus when we get there. Are people comfortable with that? Okay. Okay, so if you could get to, let's see, where did I put it? Okay. Chris, can you move the slides a few forward? I'm not sure where I'm at. Here we go. Keep going. Oh, yeah, okay. So... In the slides, you can look at these. These are some resources from both legal and from FPMT. And I just want to let you know, FPMT is Amitabha is an FPMT site, is an FPMT organization. So you won't find anything there that conflicts with, you know, Lama Zopa. If you could kind of go on. So I talked to Geshe-la about this, about doing this workshop, and I said, what do you suggest, Geshe-la? And he said, the most important thing now and always is... is conjoining your mind with the Dharma, however that is for you. It can be refuge, it can be medicine Buddha, it can be, you know, Donna and I were talking about it, and she said, you know, what practices would you do if you didn't know, you know, I hadn't had written anything down, and I said, I'd head for Tara, and she said, yes. So, I mean, it's what, you know, what helps your mind, could be bodhicitta, it could be tonglen, or whatever. So I'm going to go over, so these are the practices that
he suggests for, you know, when you think about what practice do you want to actively be doing now that you'll be able to engage your mind in at the time of death. He talks, I skipped a number, one of the things is the Lam Rim meditation, is to have in your mind, you know, the short ones, which is the foundation of all good qualities, songs of experience, and the three principal aspects of the path. You know, that you, you know, like know that so you could kind of say it in your sleep, you know, which I do often, because that's about how conscious I am when I'm saying it. Mantras. And I really like this one. Picture your teacher on the crown of your head, and imagine that their prayers are with you. And Geshe-la said that, you know, when he prays every day, when he does his prayers, he doesn't mention, you know, doesn't go everybody, but he prays for everyone in the Kadampa community. Every single day when he does his practices. And so he said, knowing that he is always praying for all of us, you know. He mentioned Tong Lin. He particularly mentioned Tong Lin in reference to, Helen, you talked about being in a car accident. And he particularly mentioned Tong Lin that, you know, how did, I think Chucky said, you know, you've been in a terrible accident and they're trying to get you out of the car and you kind of know you're bleeding out. And he said, you can do Tong Lin taking on the suffering of others in terms of wishing that no one had to die under these kinds of circumstances. So that was one of his recommendations. The Five Powers at the Time of Death, there's a booklet on it, and I've mentioned Amitabha website. There's a lot of these resources are available from the FPMT, and then the last resource is, if you want more detailed explanations of things, Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive is amazingly well set up to, like, put Five Powers at the Time of Death and all sorts of stuff will come up that Lama Zopa has talked about or Lama Yeshe or another teacher. But briefly, what the Five Powers are at the time of death is giving up attachment. And this is, I mention this because as we go through, as you do the legal parts of, you know, preparing for the end of your life, indicating in to family or friends or your in your will how you want to disperse of your belongings and that maybe you want to use them, you know, for the Dharma, is a way of letting go. Because he said, you know, the more we've let go and the more we, either during our life and at the time of death, you know, work on letting go of this attachment, it's the kind of the weaker the bonds are to kind of wrapping us around again. The power of intention is to give yourself completely to the triple gem, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And the other thing is the power of blaming the ego. Self-cherishing is the root of all problems, you know. And so we're self-cherishing because we're ignorant. You know, we don't see reality as it is. So that brings us to the comments that Lama Zopa makes all the time is about meditating on emptiness. And the power of prayer, you know, wanting to always remember bodhicitta. You know, my personal hope is that the last thing that goes for me is the refuge in bodhicitta prayer, that I can, you know, on some level keep mumbling that, you know. The power of training, you know, again, that's what are we doing now? And that training will hold us at the time of death. So if we go to the colored one. And Chris, can you go on to the next slide? Oh, that's, we'll get to that in a little while. Never mind. Go back to the other one. Sorry. I have a mantra. I found this document, although you can check boxes and only do a couple of them. First time I read this document, I went, really? I mean, it's, you know, it's Lama Zopa in ACEs, which is covering every possibility, every toothpick, every twig. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, Lama Zopa at his finest, okay? Well, I have a mantra for this workshop, and as we go through the day, it's called Keep It Simple, Sentient Beings. Because, again, what we're asking people for support for is to help engage our mind in practice and to help us have that positive state of mind that we're aspiring to. And for me, too much stuff is not going to help me do that. A lot of stuff might help you. So I just want people to be aware. Don't get intimidated. Now, maybe no one here is intimidated by this document. I was intimidated. And the other thing we're going to, I would like practices, so we're going to just start down with, this is before you die, you know, like you're dying, you're in hospice care or, you know, you're just old and forgetful. At the very, very, very simplest, and I saw this in every source I looked at, whether it was Lama Zopa Rinpoche, whether it was Geshe Gelug, whether it was every place, it says Medicine Buddha, Medicine Buddha, Medicine Buddha, Medicine Buddha. And so, and, you know, it can be the sadhana, it can be the full puja, it can be whatever, but, you know, if nothing else, just the mantra. Okay. Now I'm going to, okay, so, and then, so these are things you want, like somebody, you know, somebody you can't read anymore. I don't mean that you're in the final death process, but you're just, you know, you're just not at a place where you can read anymore, and someone reads your commitments to you, you know, or, but again, what do you want in your mind and what's going to support you? And a way of doing, as I said, you can just check these off this afternoon. It's in your handout. I created kind of a very, you know, simple way of doing this. So, you know, you can just check these things and make notes on it. You can do this. We can work on it. Again, the mantras, they list some here. Again, there are more mantras. You will find them in all of the books that, you know, have been available. And people stop me if they have any questions. I mean, I think this is pretty self-explanatory. But again, I go back to what's going to support you. I would like sutras to be recited preferably. Again, I would, Geshe-la's biggest recommendation, I'm not saying anybody has to do this, everybody, you know, is the Heart Sutra. The Noble Sutra on entering the great city of Vaishali. You can find that on the Lama's, the FPMT website. I think the next one is something that kind of requires thinking about. You know, somebody, you know, one of the things when you're in teachings with Lamas, Lama Zopa or Rabina, they say, you can't have any animals in the room and you can't have an animal on the bed because that creates causes and conditions for you to be born as an animal in the next life. Well, I mean, I have to go with them because that's what they say. But again, like Kim was saying about, you know, her mom and what worked, what was important to her mom and what was going to help her mom have a peaceful mind was family being around and being joyous. There was a time in my life, I don't think it's true so much now, it could be true again, that, well, I had a little dog, and I referred to Rascal as my first successful interpersonal relationship. I'm not, you know, it sounds funny, but I'm being very serious. If I had died at that time, for someone to take Rascal out of the room would have not have helped my mind. It really wouldn't have. And so I think those are some of the things that people kind of need to think about. Somebody said to me lately, well, you know, I don't, you know, it's okay if my family is crying, you know, I want my family around me. And I said, well, I understand that. I said, I don't think they're not talking about people kind of grieving quietly. I think they're really talking about people who's in a disturbed, hysterical state with grief, you know. And everybody's got to use their own judgment on that. And I guess I would ask, I know at hospice you could have a loop on a CD playing, you could have images there. You allow pets, you know, I mean, so, I mean, they're very willing to do all of those things. Dedications. And I wasn't really clear about this. But what it's talking about is if I, like, sponsor a puja or we're doing prayers here, that these are the things I would like them dedicated to. Or, for example, or you choosing, you know, even before you die, sponsor a puja, and they mentioned Copan, they mentioned Medicine Buddha in California. I also want to mention House 26A at Sarah J. Monastery, which is the house that Geshe Gelug and Geshe Sangpo are responsible for in terms of the training for the monks and stuff, and they will do pujas. Like when my mom died, I sponsored a puja every seventh day through the 49th day, and they did that. So, yeah, go ahead.
Can we prepay like a Medicine Buddha puja at the center?
Sure.
Before we die?
Can we prepay a Medicine Buddha puja?
Don't worry about it. I'll pay
center.
For yours.
Yeah. No.
I'll even buy the snacks.
Yeah, because I don't want my kids to, first of all, even think that they have to do it.
Yeah.
And then, if I have that done, it'll make me have peace of mind that it's there and then it'll be there for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be there for you.
Right. And I guess I bring that up because Susan McClure has, yeah, Susan, come on up. Yep, heads up. She has given me, and Donna has a copy, and I have a copy, but of what she wants after she dies in terms of a memorial and what she wants. And I also talked, she's made her arrangements with a funeral home in town, and so I talked to the funeral director there and said, can I send you a copy of this, you know, and can I also send you the money, because Susan gave me money for what she wanted for offerings, what she wanted, you know, for the puja. And so the funeral director was wonderful. She said, sure you can. Send it to me, and we can keep this in her account, and it will be available, and we will follow her directions. So I just, for people that pre-make arrangements, I just let people know that that was something that was, you know, possible. So that's kind of one of the reasons for me. I was thinking about, you know, it's made me aware, as I'm more aware as I'm doing it, is and I'd forgotten to mention, you know, Chris Kettner is still in his 49 days, and Jim Barnes, and trying to remember, you know, kind of whatever I do to kind of think about them in the morning as I begin my day, and stuff. So, hearing Death Essentials, okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about resources if, you know, depending on, as again, if you're in hospice or you're at home or you're whatever. There is, I'm going to get up. It'll be easier to do this. Let's see if the knees are still working. Yep, they are. Thank you. If you choose, and it is not necessary, but they have what they call a liberation kit at, from the FPMT, and it has a stupa with the four Dharmakaya relics in it that, you know, that can be placed at the top of a person's head, you know, at the time of, you know, when they're dying. It can even actually be placed close to them and touching them. It has the Namal mantra that can go on their body. It has a special pill that I'm not sure this one has it. Yes, it does. And a protector cord that I think has been blessed by Lama Zopa. And all of this would kind of be before. But what I want people to know is that I have, back when I was, quote, spiritual supporter, chaplain, or whatever I was, created kits like this for all of the nuns to have. So all of us have them, you know. Actually, I think Chukila always has it in her car with her. And stuff. But there also are two in a cabinet here that are available. Let's say none of the nuns are available and you want to be able to do practices and kind of read the suggestions and all of those things. They're here, and I'm assuming that we can allow people to borrow them.
I wonder where they are.
Okay, well, I can show you where they are. They're with the quotes chaplain stuff, but, you know, and they're, the box is, the top is labeled, you know, liberation, and if we can do that. But it has, and I'm going to ask Donna this. This is the Namal mantra, Donna, and this is the sheet that, you know, we placed like this. Can we make copies for everybody to take home today? Okay. Would people like that? Okay. So, and then there's the eight prayers to benefit the dead. There's selections from Rabina's workbook. And I found out from Amitabha Hospice, this is on their website. And it is referred to it as the workbook that kind of goes with Lama Zopa's book. So, and then there's some, you know, images, like there's a image of Medicine Buddha and stuff. So I'll work out with Donna what's the best way to handle this and stuff like that. So what? Yeah, but since this was FPMTs, I didn't know if we should copy it, Donna.
And they're also available in the bookstore.
They're all, and also this, and I can barely, there's a short version of this mantra, but so that is, but you're welcome to look at these. So what that brings me to is a couple of resources that have happened. One of the things when I was reading stuff that, I'll talk about what we do with stuff. I'll get to that. But people are welcome. And this is the Lodi Rinpoche book that I was referring to, Kim. Yeah.
Senator Wakanda, can you tell us what is in the nuns' kits that you mentioned?
All of these things.
Okay, all of these that you
yeah.
There are in their basket.
Yeah. Probably not this one. Actually, what's in there is they all have a copy of this. And they all have a copy of the eight prayers at the time of death. They all have and what's also in there is the Medicine Buddha Sadhana.
Okay.
In their little kits, and also some images, and also let's see, where's Medicine Buddha? Okay, so okay. Yeah.
That plastic sheet, the sheet that has the mantras and covered with plastic.
Yeah.
That's the Dharmakaya relic.
This is the Dharmakaya. This is the one. No, this is not Namal. This is, but this is the one that's supposed to go on the body.
Yeah.
No, not on the head.
Yeah, Dharmakaya relic goes on the head.
Head, but also goes on, it says here to go on the chest.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, for example, when we were praying for Kim, this sat on him. And actually, we got permission, I talked to Geshe-la about it. We got permission when he was wheeled to surgery. That was the last thing that was taken off. And that's, I know you're supposed to be really, really careful with Dharma items, but in this case, the longer it's there in terms of situation. So it's again one of those, bodhicitta trumps the rule. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in here. Yeah, yeah, that's in. Okay, yeah, so there's all, and so again, I refer you to, again, it's all overwhelming, and so I don't want anybody, you don't have to have all of this, you know? I mean, Donna will want an image, and she might want all, but she's going to want an image of the Tars. You know, I want a picture of Geshe Gelug, this picture I adore of Geshe Gelug and Khenpo Rinpoche, where Geshe-la is like this to Khenpo Rinpoche, and Khenpo Rinpoche is looking at him with a beatific smile, and Geshe-la just got a dozen Whole Food warm chocolate chip cookies. I mean, that is the expression on their faces, and it's like, oh, can I be born in circumstances to be willing to do that? To be able to do that and to be willing. The willing is the key, guys. Okay. So this is all for you to look at. And but that is the resource we have at the center to support people, you know, to use the tools for themselves, and also what kind of the non-Calvary travels with. Okay, thank you for your patience. So, Geshe-la, this is a couple of things about death. I don't remember what that mantra was, but, you know, I tend to be, I'm rarely quiet. But put me in a room with someone who's sick, or when my mom was dying, or when I visited Jim, and I'm whispering, right? And Lama Zopa says, you know, at the time of death, kind of, not yell, but don't hold back. You know, say it so it can be heard. You know, none of this. So that's just, as Geshe-la would say, for information. And then during the time of death, one of the things you can talk about is, you know, people make doing light offerings for you, making offerings to the Sangha or lay students, making offerings to your gurus. But that's all got to be pre-planned and like, whatever. And you guys are always so generous all the time. You're doing this stuff all the time. Just, you know, kind of think about it getting you closer to enlightenment. Pujas I would like done after my death. I'm surprised that Medicine Buddha isn't here, so I would, all of you guys, I would write in Medicine Buddha. It's on the, you know, the next page. I would write in Medicine Buddha. And the next one, retreats you would want to sponsor or whatever. I would write in a medicine, you know, if you want to do a retreat, I would write in Medicine Buddha, okay? I'm not saying the others aren't wonderful, but I'm just saying don't leave that out of any of the suggestions. Make sense?
Can I ask a question about practicality?
Yeah, sure.
So when you had
Yeah.
What were the practical aspects of how you got that done?
I want to talk to Geshe-la. He talked to Tiga, his, you know, Geshe Sangpo's brother was there at the time. He talked to them. I wired the money.
Okay. To the house or?
To one of the monks at House 26A. And Geshe-la would know who could receive the money, and you need to use Western Union. They don't have electronic transfer funds, and I think it cost about $35 to wire the money and stuff. So just thanks. But yeah, Geshe-la, I went to Geshe-la, and Geshe-la said, this is the address. And I'd never wired money before, and Sherry Soutoris, who's always wiring money, knew how to do it, so she helped me do it, and off it went, and they did it.
So this can be done in advance and put on there, or is it need to be done that when
it's... You know what I would suggest is, knowing my experience with organizing things in Tibetan culture, I would suggest it be done at the time. Would that, you know, yeah. I with the best of intentions, it would get lost in the time stream. Okay. Right, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Where's prayers and guys? So, oh, there's a go. Okay, prayers and practice. So, here we go. Okay, so here we go. So, so you've died. And so prayers and practices after I die, well, and they're, again, this is, talks about they, you know, tug the crown of your head, and then they talk about if you have sand from Kala Chakra Kala Chakra sand mandala where the Holiness the Dalai Lama did Kala Chakra, you can mix it with a little honey and put it on the crown of head. Well, little in short supply, guys, so.
I think that was also in the instructions when we had Tara San Mandala done in the sand was saved. I think that was in the instructions you could do it with.
Maybe, yeah. It could have been. Yeah, I mean, it could be. And I just wasn't sure. I didn't hear any other mandalas mentioned, and that's why I, you know, wasn't sure. I didn't want to.
Right.
Okay. Again, we'll go with the, you know, the traditional eight prayers at the time of death. Those are all, the eight of those are in that book. And again, not all of these need to be done. I mean, if there's, you know, no one else is available, just saying Medicine Buddha, saying Omani Padme Hum, saying, you know, the praises to the, if Donna was there reciting the praises to the 21 Taras, you know, this is the case of Donna or something. So, again, this is, again, what's going to support your mind? What's going to support your mind? Because physical death has happened, but your mind may not have left the body. And it's kind of, I would prefer that, you know, the first time it's touched, and then practices I would like done after my death. Again, Medicine Buddha isn't here. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. So, but it's Medicine Buddha Jianghua. So, so I asked Geshe-la about this. This is important. You're going to see under practices, okay? You're going to see Jianghua. Jianghua. It's under practices. You're going to see Medicine Buddha Jianghua. You're going to see, okay. It's purifying the bones and ashes hair, you know, what's left if you're cremated, okay? It's part of a Vajrayana practice. You don't have to be a tantric practitioner. And so I said to Geshe-la, people are going to read this very closely, Geshe-la, and people are going to say to me, well, who's going to do this? And I said, I don't want to speak for you. And he said, that's really good. And I said, are you, it says a highly qualified Lama, so that means you and Geshe Thangpo. And he said, you can tell people that Geshe Thangpo or I will do that. They will need to bring the ashes here. It will take about an hour to do. And I'm going to add, after doing a lot of research, when they do something like that, it's traditional to make an offering. Yeah. I mean, this is a well-educated group, but I mean, I just didn't, for me, on the next page, and the main practice for people to do throughout this time is Medicine Buddha Puja. That's on the page 4, the top of page 4. No, I should touch the body. I got a little bit confused. Sorry, guys. It kind of flops around. Prayers and practices do after, that's right. I was on the wrong page, so I apologize. And I go to, you know, meditations, emptiness, and then there's the thing about offerings. I got my pages confused. I apologize for not being in order. Any questions? Because I've kind of confused this a little bit. So I'm just going to give people a chance to read a little bit, and then I'll get down to prayers and practices to do with my ashes.
Yeah, sure.
So my mom died.
Right.
In a funeral home. And I begged them to keep her body. I mean, a big problem of how do you keep the body for 3 days, which I would have loved to do.
Well, where did she die?
In a funeral home.
She didn't die in a funeral home, dear. I hope not.
We brought her to a funeral home from a rehab center. So.
Okay.
And they wouldn't keep her body, so, and you know.
Who wouldn't keep her body? The funeral home. Okay, so here's, you need to do research and find a funeral home that's willing to, number one. And there are funeral homes that, because they keep them on ice anyways, there's no reason why they can't keep it. But the body's already been touched, so it really doesn't matter. So what I would suggest, I would go back up to the rehab center. Were you with your mom when she died? Okay. When you knew you were dying, to have re-talked to the people in rehab and say to them they can't keep them for days, but you can say to them, you know, you can, again, religious preference. You know, if she dies and there isn't a nurse in the room, you don't have to call the nurse.
Yeah, but they come through.
You, and then you tell them, my religious preference is that you wait. And we need an hour. And you have that discussion up front with them. And it's legal. Now, they might fight you, but I think if you begin having the discussion up front, and if you know she's going to die, call hospice and help them be an advocate for you. I mean, you may not have known that she was so sick that she was going to die.
We knew she was dying.
Okay, well, then you could have called hospice and even it wouldn't have become... So I'm just... These are some options in the future that I'm just trying to... And these are the things for people to think through. Again, barring the car accident.
Yeah.
You know?
Or bring her home. No, they wouldn't allow her.
Well, they could... You could have said... You could have discharged her against medical advice and brought her home. There's no... You can do that. Yeah. So it's educating yourself about what's, and again, the thing with religious preference is, you know, you get clear up front, you know, and
then we cremated her, but
well, that's fine. Well, and you don't, as I said, again, but even there's 3 days, there's 4 hours, there's 24, you know what I mean? It's like you do what you can do. And And if someone has been, they say, if someone has been very, very sick, you know, and their body is riddled, you know, very sick for a significant amount of time, unless they're a highly realized practitioner, the mind tends to leave the body pretty quickly.
I have
okay. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay.
Yeah. I have two questions then related
sure.
to that.
Yeah, sure, Susie.
Cremation. If yeah. I'm wearing blessing cords, do you take them off?
No.
Leave cremate with the blessing
cords. You can.
Cords.
Yeah. No.
Okay. And you said about the funeral home keeping them on the ice. Wouldn't that be disturbing?
What? Well, it might be. But what I'm saying is that you know if you can't keep the body if Let's put it this way. Your mom died in a hospital 500 miles away. And so the hospital is going to take the body to the morgue before you get there, right? Okay. So you might assume that the mind has left the body, but maybe it hasn't. So when you make arrangements, you can say to the funeral home, I would like the body held for another 24 hours. You know what I mean? And they will do it. But you can also decide, look, they already messed with the body. They've handled it. I'm sure the mind has left the body, and you just go ahead with it. I mean, I go back to that crazy thing. Not crazy. Again, the stronger our spiritual practice at the time of death, the more, no matter what happens, the calmer our mind will stay as we go through the transition, and the less it will be disturbed by the complications of samsara. You know? I wish I had a better answer, but as long as we're in samsara, that's all we got.
Yeah, my mother died in a board and care home.
Do we need a microphone?
With hospice.
Uh-huh.
And I waited hours before I called the hospice.
I waited
hours before I called the hospice nurse, and then I stayed with her, did prayers until her heart cooled off, and then that's when I called the funeral home.
Okay.
And I spent the night with her in her room and waiting.
Okay.
And until I had a sense
yeah.
that she'd yeah. basically left, and
yeah.
so I mean it's possible.
Yeah. Well, my mother died in a skilled nursing facility, and we said we want to stay, and they said, the room is hers. You can stay for as long as you need. Now, it wouldn't have been days, but, you know.
Yeah.
So it's about educating ourselves and asking
yeah.
and doing the conversation before. That's why I thought it was kind of important to do this workshop,
yeah.
you know. I mean, not for whatever, you know. So, yeah, Helen.
I sometimes sense that we get a sense of guilt about, well, I could have done more, I should have done more. And I think we have to be gentle with our hearts and ourselves and saying, I did the best I can under the circumstances.
Right. Yeah.
I did the best at this time. And in hindsight, I might say I should have done, but it's okay. It's
yeah.
really okay.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I mean, when my mom died, first of all, she's a sneaky lady. We knew she was going to probably medically die that night. I mean, it was, and so my sister and I said, Mom, we're going to have a pajama party. We're going home to get some comfy clothes. We'll be back. We're spending the night with you. Well, we walk in the door to the apartment where we were staying, and the phone is ringing, and they said, she died as the elevator door closed and we couldn't catch you. She wasn't about to do it with any of us around, you know, whatever. So we went back and I did some prayers and I was going to spend the night, and my sister didn't want to. And I still look back, this is an example where I made a decision at that time that it was more important to be with my sister, who really didn't want to be alone at that point, than stay with my mom. But I still look back and say, what would I do today? You know, but to follow up on that, my mother's nickname was Scooter. Um, those who run around in circles are blessed, and they shall be called wheels. So somebody had given my mother one of those Energizer bunny things that, you know, you squeeze the drum and it lights up. Well, it sat on the windowsill over her sink, right? And it had not worked in years. So my sister and I are, of course, having a cup of tea, and we're at the sink, and I reach up. This is about an hour and 2 hours after she dies, right? I reach up, and I squeeze the drum, and it lights up. You know, and it lit up for another 2 years. You know, I don't think my mother was in the Energizer Bunny, but I just, you know, I didn't prostrate. But, you know, so I really appreciate all of your comments, Helen, about it doing stuff. So now I'm going to talk about, so any other questions here? So prayers and practices to do with my ashes. So I would like the following things to be done with my ashes after a jangwa. So that's why I knew people would be saying to me, what's a jangwa? And that's why I checked with Geshe-la, and we're good on that if you're, you know, here. It also says in Lama Zopa's book that if there's no Lama available, it makes suggestions on how you can do it yourself. But under the part about making stupas or statues, Geshe-la said that is usually only done with a high lama. You know, you can sponsor a stupa or a statue. I mean, and it's not that, like, I am sure that Alejandra, who built that stupa in Argentina, that her mother's ashes probably went into that stupa. But a stupa or a statue wasn't made with her ashes. You know, the same is also true of sasas, but some people do put ashes, make sasas and put ashes in them. The caveat, the warning here is they are then holy objects because a sasa is a holy object, and we have no place to store them. So if you choose to do that, you better have a storage plan. Okay? Now, that brings us to...
One question.
Yeah, sure, Joey.
Sometimes we bless our statues and we fill it with incense and stuff like that. Would it be possible to put the ashes with the incense and use it?
I don't think so, but I don't know. That is an ignorant I don't know. That is a big G question. Yeah.
Also, when you sprinkle the ashes into the wind, you know, you need to do that within the 49 days. And also, another thing you can do is you can walk around the stupa
with it
within the 49 days.
Right. And if you can't sprinkle them within the 49 days, it's okay. I mean, it's ideal to do it within the 49 days, but it's if you can't do it within the 49 days, you don't not do it. I'm just, you do what you choose. I'm just saying that's the information that I have. You know, maybe we can check it out with Geshe-la. What?
Within the 49 days, because my mother's ashes went in the wind after the 49 days. I remember
right.
My sister's doing that, so that's why I remember that's what they said. But we can check again.
We can check again. And I guess what I want to say is that in what I'm going on, and it, well, we'll just check with Geshe-la, but Geshe-la always comes back to you do the best you can, and it's better to do it than not do it. You know, so, but again, I think it's a really, I'll try to remember some of the big G questions, okay?
But he definitely said, when I said, you know, I wanted to take my grand dog's ashes around the stupa, and then he said, is it within the 49 days? And I said, yes. And then I said, well, what about the cat? And she's been dead for several years. She said, no.
Okay.
But the dog, he said, it was very good.
Right. Right, right, right. Okay. Yeah.
I noticed that it says after a Zhanghua.
Yeah.
Does that mean if you have a Zhanghua, your ashes are special?
They're purified.
And
now,
so,
Lama Zopa says they're a holy object once the Zhanghua is done. Geshe-la said they are purified. They are not necessarily a holy object. So
that means to take care?
What?
To be careful with them in some way?
Well, yeah. I mean, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't know anybody that keeps the ashes of somebody that's died that, that uses them as a doorstop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they might be if they really hated the person. But, I mean, you know.
So you might want to have a plan for taking care of those ashes.
Right. But, I mean, they can be on a shelf. You know, yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is if some people don't want to get rid of them, you know, so they can just be on a shelf in your house. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't, there's not.
It don't get attached to them. But, you know, they're,
yeah,
just,
I mean,
they're not something you just throw away. Or
right, right.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you, I would not suggest flushing them.
Okay.
Yeah. Helen.
In doing this, you know, sprinkling it from the wind or putting them in the water. Is there?
I would look at some of the books.
Okay.
I would look at some of the books. I again, within the 49 days, I think it could be Medicine Buddha. I think it'd be, you know, again, the most positive thoughts for their, you know, rebirth and stuff, but I think I would look at some of the resources that we have. Yeah. I did not exclusively investigate everything before doing this workshop. Okay. Karen.
So there's a lot talking about ashes, but what about with green burials and you're putting the body in the ground for the worms to eat or the bugs to eat or to be thrown in the ocean so the fish could eat it? Would you purify, or is there something you do to purify the body for that if it's not ashes but the actual body?
It's our alternative to sky burial.
Since we can't do a sky burial here.
I think, again, that's a Geshe-la question. I would really appreciate it if anybody, you know, anytime I've said it's a Geshe-la question, would they write them down and give them to me? Don't, you know, rely, I think, the question about if you can't do it, and I'm not talking about a couple of years, but let's say I can't make arrangements to do what the person wanted, and it's, you know, day 52, do I still do it, or is it pointless, you know? Or the truth is that the point of the 49 days is, you can scatter the ashes anytime. They may not have the beneficial effect that you want. You know, so I think those are kind of Geshe-la questions. I think green burial is a Geshe-la question. I think,
Incense
and ashes in a statue. So if people would write those questions down, I would just really appreciate it.
I want to add something. Like,
sure.
About 49 days, because like according to Tibetan Buddhism,
mm-hmm.
They say that after 49 days, you will rebirth,
right.
You know, the person. So there's no point of doing puja after 49 days.
There's no point in doing what?
Puja, you know, the puja and whatever we do, puja, the medicine puja and everything.
Yeah.
There's no point of doing after 49 days. So it would be better because within that 49
right.
days,
right.
she
right.
or he will
right.
be roaming
right.
around in different phases
yeah.
of death.
Yeah.
So it's better always to do within 49 days
yeah.
because
it's,
after that, he
mm-hmm.
or she will be rebirth. So
mm-hmm.
it's like he will be into
mm-hmm.
another world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no point. That's what they say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Chris.
But there's also the saying that if you say a mantra and blow on bones that are very, very old,
right,
that being would get a benefit.
It really. So, that's the catch, is it's most auspicious to do it within the 49 days, but also Geshe-la talks about, you know, sometimes people do practices at a year anniversary and stuff to just support the person. And if nothing else, it helps your mind. So there's no mistake doing practices. I mean, how can you go wrong, guys? You know, whatever. So, Chris, can we go to the next slide? Is he here? Oh, he's not. We lost him. Oh, here he is. I'm sorry. I kept looking for you in your traditional spot. I apologize. Okay, so what to do with your Dharma will. So before we go over that, I'm going to mention two resources. And Kim, I don't think, is staying for the afternoon, but she, at another time, would be a good person to talk to. Kim has a box. And I think she calls it her death box.
Death kit.
Death kit. And in it, and her family knows where it is, and probably some of her close friends should know where it is, in it are, you know, important legal documents like advanced medical directive, will, da-da-da-da-da, but also her Dharma will. And so, and I also know that she's now on her keychain is a USB drive of the practices she would like played if something happens to her. So, again, are we available? Is she in a, you know, place where we can do it? But at the same time, she's done her due diligence. But I would add to that is you know, kind of as Gary said, there's the take care of business basket, and then there's the kind of Dharma, you know, practice. In one of these books here, and it's Dying with Confidence by Anyan Rinpoche, it talks about what they call a Dharma box. And it's really nice. It's like your Dharma will, but in the box of your Dharma will is, if you want medicine, Buddha sadhana, that's in the box. You know, it's the things that you decide are the most important for you that are in the box. And your friends, you know, your family knows where it is, and people that are close to you know where it is. And you know, so that's another thing, and that's kind of what's suggested. But again, it doesn't have to be the whole collection that's on this thing. It can be what you finally decide is going to be of the most benefit to you. I'm going with whatever Geshe Gelug tells me. So, so what to do with it? That is just some. So Kim's worked really hard on her death kit, and I think is a great resource in terms of you know, having the conversation with family and making sure the tools are available to the family to help you with your wishes. So the other thing is, so what else to do with it? Attach it to your advanced medical directive. You know, it's not part of your, but I attach it because, you know, and make sure that your medical power of attorney has it and your durable power of attorney has it. That's an important thing. And give it to Buddhist friends that, you know, might be available, you know, depending on the community that you're a part of. Give it to family members, whether or not they're willing. I think you have to check it out. You know, if they're going to be offended, it's going to disturb their minds, you might have to figure out something else. I mean, I've been exposed to some family members that they could be so against it that they would kind of orchestrate circumstances so that people couldn't do it, you know. And I'm not saying that was going to happen for any of us here, but it's kind of plausible. So, and all of the above assume you have these documents. The good news is about AMI Transitions Life Care is they have links to all of those documents if you don't have them. So that's, the advanced medical directive has blanks for other things that you want, and that can be registered. It's online with the state of North Carolina. It costs $10 to do. And so, like, if you go into the hospital, you can say to them, and it can, but there's a space where you can mention some wishes like that, like don't touch the body, da 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 da. So I just offer that as possibly a tool. I'm done. Well, except for dedication, but one of the things that I would like to ask people, you know, when you do workshops, you know, you ask people for feedback and stuff. Well, I didn't do a form with, you know, were the audio visuals good, was this as good. I was going to bring index cards, and I had a brain cramp, and I forgot. But if you need paper, we'll find it for you. any comments that you would like to make that are positive, neutral, or negative that can help me if I'm ever in this situation of doing this again, improve what I did, I would be extremely grateful if you would just take a couple of minutes and do that. And Lamo, of course, who always has office supplies, she and I in another life are going to run a stationery store. And so the last thing is that, so it's 12:35, and so I would like to know, I don't know, some people may have bought some lunch, some people may be going out for lunch, would, and we have plenty of snacks, I can put more snacks out and you can just eat junk food and fruit. Peanuts, they're reasonably healthy. And there's cheese and crackers. So if you want to just come back in an hour, let's say come back at 1:40, or would you prefer to come back, let's say, at 2 o'clock so you can go and get something to eat?
Two.
Is that okay with people? Does that work for people?
How long are we going
to go? Well, we're going to sit down. At 2 o'clock, we're going to, we're going to start writing our Dharma will. So you've got this simple form, and also you've got this other form that, you know, the complicated way one, and you can just go through that and check it and make notes on it, but it's an opportunity to start doing your Dharma will. So we're just going to sit at a table, and I'm going to be here to answer questions or get confused, whichever comes first, and see how far we get, to give sense of people a sense of a chance to tackle it. You know, does that make sense? And people may choose, some people are staying and some people aren't. I do want you to know that on the website, no, I don't think we have, we can send out a link. Donna can send it out. If she will, the complicated one that I just went over, Donna, uh-huh. This one, Barb created this as a PDF, so you can edit it. You know, created a document that's editable. So if you wanted to do this electronically, this one.
Okay, and where is it? If you want to email me.
You need to email her because I didn't. The link to it is not editable, but. We then, Donna, I'm sorry, is that okay? So if you want the editable version of this complicated one, or you want to use this as a guide, and this is editable, you know, the simple one, that's editable too. Or you can handwrite it. Yes, Joey?
Can you talk about filling out, signing, and notarizing forms? Would that include that piece of paper as well, or okay, just the
no.
Noted? Recognized
forms.
But if you're going to a notary anyway,
what?
Does it make a difference if you have it notarized?
I think that would be.
No, you don't need.
Okay.
Because it's a holographic. It's holographic and signed and dated is the key. And again, I worked with a lawyer on this when I was doing my own will, and he said we can attach it, but there's.
Okay.
Nothing really. Religious preference is where it's going to be. That's going to be your buzzword. And don't hesitate to use to access transitions. They've just been really wonderful in answering questions and, you know, forms and helping you get access to materials. It's been a real blessing to work with them.
The website's transitionslifecare.org.
Oh, transitionslifecare.org. Okay. I think there's going to put a whiteboard up, and I'm going to put those websites.
That email address is on the bottom of your Go Wish Cards worksheet.
Right. And it's on the bottom of some of the slides. So,
last question.
Yeah.
The Dharma will, a copy of the Dharma will, is that being, can be held at the center?
Okay, that's a backup plan, okay? I was originally I had suggested not, because things can be so transitional in organizations. But the board decided that they would make a file here, that it can be here. But what I want to say to everybody is it's not your go-to place. It's your backup place. Does that? It'll be in a central place and it'll be available. But what I'm saying is that don't make that the only place it is. That's probably not going to get you the support that you need. And the conversation with family beforehand, you know, if you have family that will be involved, is probably going to be one of the most crucial. So don't be one of the 90%. Be one of, you know, let's make it 90% here at the center or whatever.
I had something for my family and said who to call. One of them would be the Kadampa Center.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it can be the Kadampa Center, but what I'm saying, then you're giving the Kadampa Center responsibility for fulfilling your wishes, and I'm not sure, I can't guarantee we're all going to be available to do that for you. I mean, we'd like to be, Susie, but I don't know if we would.
If you want a copy of my Dharma will, that's where it is. Besides what I give you, too, on a USB drive, paper.
But if for some reason they misplace it, they always know they can find one here?
Or they're in Argentina.
Or whatever. Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. That's a good thought. I wasn't tracking. Okay? So, okay. See you back here at 2.
Dedicate.
Oh, dedicate. I'm sorry. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's keep Jim Barnes and Chris Kettner in mind as we dedicate and all beings. And we're just going to say the dedication prayer, let's just read Shanti Davis' dedication. How's that? We're just going to read that or recite that. So, do you mind leading that, Lama? Thank you.
246 and 247.
When we say on Sunday, may all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.